And with me in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 5. We're looking at verse 8 in just a moment. First, I want to welcome everyone. I see several gaps this morning. Several our number are out, some that we may not know about. We want to check on them to see how they are doing. But good to be with you and appreciate so much you being here this morning. As we sing about heaven, you know, we go through difficulties and trials in life, pains and sorrows, but that does encourage us to sing about heaven and to have that hope of being with our Lord for all eternity. And that helps us to get through the days that are hard, that are long, as we think about God's love for us and His promise of being able to be with Him for all eternity. This morning I want to talk about how to overcome temptation. We all face it. Peter says here in 1 Peter chapter 5 and in verse 8, "Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary the devil walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." I don't have the scriptures up on the screen, so if you would turn with me in your Bibles this morning. Our adversary, the devil, he's your adversary, he's mine, and he's out to devour each and every one of us. He is called the tempter in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 3. As he came to tempt Jesus, he tempts us to do wrong, to commit sin. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12 it says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." Our battle is a spiritual battle against the spiritual host of wickedness, the rulers of this darkness. We don't see them, but they are the spiritual beings of which Satan is the prince. He's the prince of the power of the air. And we are battling against them. And we've emphasized many times that we need to be aware of that. We need to be aware of the fact that he is always out to get us. And I will say to you that Satan doesn't approach you as Satan. Satan doesn't approach you saying, "I am Satan," and he's in this red garment with a pitchfork and a pointed tail saying, "I want to get you to commit sin so that you can go to hell." No, he presents himself as an angel of light, as Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14. Matter of fact, the Bible says that Satan is a liar. Romans 12 and verse 9 says that he deceives the whole world. Jesus said in John 8 and verse 44 that he's a liar and the father of it. And look here in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11, we're told to put on the whole armor of God that we might be able to stand against the what? The wiles of the devil. And the word wiles means trickery, cunning devices. He is trying to get you to see sin as being good and right, and he is wanting to convince you of that, that this is a good thing. But he's lying to you. How Satan does that, I don't know. You say, "Well, how does Satan do that?" You know, I can't explain. I can't explain how Satan brought all the calamities on Job. But Satan did it. Satan took all of his possessions away. Satan killed all of his children. Satan brought the physical problems in Job's life. Matter of fact, Paul said that the thorn in the flesh that he had was a messenger of Satan. How did Satan do that? I don't know how Satan. I know Satan is not God. Satan is not deity. He doesn't have the power that deity has, but he's got some power. And how he goes about doing that, I don't know, and I don't have to know. I just know he does, and I know that he is lying to me. And he is going to, in some way or another, get me to think that sin is okay, that it's right. He's deceiving me. He uses trickery to try to get me to see that sin is wrong. So what must we do? Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 12, "Wherefore let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he falls." We need to take heed. If I think Satan can get me, oh, I don't have a problem with Satan, then Satan's got you already. Take heed. He's our adversary. He's walking about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Also in 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, the passage that we looked at earlier, Peter says, "Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary the devil walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." Sober, vigilance, be watchful. One translation says, be on the alert, always be ready. You're going around and you're not thinking about Satan, you don't think about the fact that you could be tempted, then you're vulnerable. Think about the fact that Satan can get me at any time, and be aware of when that approaches, that temptation comes. Be aware of what it is. And that's taking heed. That's being sober, being vigilant. In Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 18, in order to be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might, we're told to put on the whole armor of God. So these are the things that we need to do in order to overcome the temptations of Satan. What I want to do this morning is I want to look at some practical things that we can do. It's a part of putting on the whole armor of God, but some things that we can do that will help us to overcome temptation. And so consider with me a few things this morning. What can we do? First of all, be close to God. Look with me in James chapter 4, in verses 7 and 8. James 4, verses 7 and 8. James says, "Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." Submit to God, resist the devil, draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. Those go together. If we're going to resist the devil, we've got to draw near to God. We've got to submit to God. So how do we draw near to God? How do we draw close to God? Well, let me ask you this. Those that you're close to, those people that are your closest friends, how did that happen? How did you come about to be close to that person? Well, it's because you spent time with that person. It's through communication. As you got to know them and they got to know you, and you knew how that person thought, they know how you think, because you spent time with that person, then you've grown close to that person. And that's how we grow close to God. First of all, we allow God to speak to us. We allow God to speak to us when we read His Word. That's how God speaks to us today. The Bible is the Word of God, and if God's going to speak to us, it's going to be because we're reading and studying the Bible. And in that, we draw close to Him. What do we learn? We learn how He thinks. We learn who God is. We get to know God. And we have a relationship with Him because we have committed our life to Him. We've been forgiven of our sins. We have fellowship with Him. And now He speaks to us. And He wants us to listen to Him on a daily basis. 1 Peter 2 and verse 2, He says that we as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. We need to desire God's Word because we want to grow close to Him. We want to know Him. So we desire to learn how He thinks and learn His will for our lives. Colossians 3 and verse 16 says, "Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly." But in order for the Word to dwell within us, we've got to study it. It doesn't happen automatically. And I will say, you cannot get it just by attending the assemblies of the church. It's going to require daily reading. And that's the reason that we emphasize daily Bible studies, because God is speaking to you. Let me ask you this. If God made an appointment with you to come and talk to you, He wanted to talk to you, and He made an appointment with you, would you meet that appointment? So I say, yes. If God made an appointment with me, I would be there. But you know He has. Every day. He's made an appointment. He hadn't given a definite time. You're going to have to make that choice yourself. But He's made an appointment to speak to you by reading and studying His Word. Open that Word. Read it. Study it. Learn it. And it takes time. It takes effort. It's not something that's always fun. But it's something that's necessary if we're going to grow close to God, if we're going to learn about Him, if we're going to know how He thinks. And that's how we're able to overcome temptation. Psalm 119, verse 11, the psalmist says, "Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you." How can I not sin against God? The word of God needs to be hidden within the heart. Ephesians 6, the armor of God that we're told to put on, the only offensive part of that armor is the sword of the Spirit, which is what? The word of God. And if I'm going to be able to fight back when Satan attacks me, it's going to be because I have the Word of God in my heart. I'm able to fight back with the sword of the Spirit. Like Jesus did in Matthew 4. When Satan came and tempted Him, Jesus counteracted the temptation every time with quoting Scripture, with the Word of God. It is written. And then He would quote a passage of Scripture. And that's how we overcome temptation. You know, we're not going to be able to overcome sin if we don't know it is sin. How do I know certain deeds are sin? Studying the Word of God. That's how I learn about God. It's so important is to study the Word of God. That's how we grow close to Him. And we grow close to Him by talking to Him. And God wants us to talk to Him. God wants us to pour our hearts out to Him. And so as we allow Him to talk to us, and we spend time during the day to reading His Word, and we spend that time in prayer, and then throughout the day praying, what are we doing? We're growing close to God. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, "Pray without ceasing." Colossians 4 and verse 2 says, "Continue earnestly in prayer." Earnestly in prayer. Matthew 6 and verse 13 in the model prayer. You remember Jesus in that model prayer, part of that was a request, "Deliver us not into temptation." Lead us not into temptation, rather, but deliver us from the evil one. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. We need God's help. And in order to get God's help in our lives in overcoming temptation, we need to be talking to God and asking Him then for that help. And also, as we assemble with the saints, the Lord made provision for times when we come together to encourage one another, to edify one another. We need that in order to overcome sin. Look at what the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 10 and beginning with verse 24. "And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." The Hebrew writer is talking about my thinking of you. I need to be here in order to encourage you, to stir you unto love and good works, so that you can do good, so that you can do what's right, so that you can overcome temptation. But also, you're here for me. You're here to encourage me. And I need that. I need to be here so that you encourage me, that you help me to overcome temptation within my life. You edify me, build me up through the singing, through your presence here, through your example. All of that is a part of what God's provided so that we might grow, that we might be edified. And brethren, we need to be a part of that, not just Sunday morning, but Sunday morning for Bible classes. That's been provided for our edification. Sunday evening at 5 o'clock, Wednesday evenings at 7 o'clock. We need to be in those assemblies because the Lord said be there. Don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. But I need to be there to help me grow close to God so that I can then be what God wants me to be, that I will be better able to overcome temptation. If I am serious about overcoming temptation, if I have strong conviction that Satan is real and that his spiritual host of wickedness are there attacking me on a daily basis, then I'll be in these assemblies. I will be studying my Bible daily. I'll be praying to God without ceasing because I know I need that in order to be able to be successful as Satan attacks. Be close to God. But then secondly, we need to be careful about our environment. In other words, avoid those situations of where you know you're going to be tempted. You remember Peter? You remember in Luke chapter 22, verse 33, He made the statement to Jesus, "Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death." And I believe that Peter was genuine about that. But you know that a few hours later, we find that what was he doing? He began to curse and to swear and deny Jesus. But it says in Luke, I believe verse 55, Luke 22 and verse 55, that Peter sat among them. This is when they arrested Jesus. They brought him before the high priest. It says that Peter followed in the distance. But then later, it says they had built a fire and the people were there and Peter sat among them. You know, when Peter was with the disciples of Jesus, it was a lot easier to say, "I will go to prison and die for you." It was a lot more difficult, was it, when he was among those who wanted to kill Jesus. He was among those who hated Jesus. And that's right. There's going to be more difficulty when we're in an environment that is opposed to Jesus, that's opposed to living for Jesus. And I know we're not going to be able to avoid that completely. The Lord does not want us to leave the world. Matter of fact, Luke chapter 17, he prays, I think I have this later, but I'll go ahead and mention this, that he prayed that the Lord not take them out of the world, but that he would keep them from the evil one. And so the challenge is for us to live in the world, but not be of the world. And there are times we're going to be around those who are evil and wicked, and we're going to be tempted, and the peer pressure will be on. And how do we deal with that? Well, we need to be strong during those times. But surely we ought not to intentionally put ourselves in situations where we know we're going to be tempted. Just running around with people, I know they're not the best for me. They curse and swear. They're going to put the temptation before me to go to a movie that I don't want to watch, or maybe to drink when I don't drink. They're going to want me to do things that I know that I ought not to do, and I just run around with them. What am I doing? I am choosing then to be a part of a people that I know is going to make it very difficult for me to overcome temptation. Now, if I'm a part of them at a time where I'm trying to shine a light to them, and I'm wanting to influence them for the Lord, and I'm there talking to them about Jesus, that's a different matter. If I'm there and they bring this up and I present the truth that they're going to do their own thing, I go my way. But then I go back and I'm with them again in order to shine my light and I talk to them about Jesus. And I'm trying to be an influence for good. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about being buddy-buddy with people who you know, who I know, is going to influence me to do wrong. I should choose not to do that. Even watching television, going to movies, reading books, listening to music, where I know that it's not best for me. It fills my mind with things that is opposed to the Lord. You remember Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33, evil company corrupts good morals. And that's right. And so I need to control my environment to make sure that I do not put myself in situations where I know I'm going to be tempted. The Lord does not want us to go out of the world. He wants us to be a light in the world, a light of the world. So He wants us to be in the world, but He does not want us to be of the evil one. So be careful about your environment. And then thirdly, ask yourself, did I really repent? You know, I think one reason that we continue to commit the same sin over and over again, maybe because we didn't really repent of that sin. When I went to God in prayer and asked God to forgive me of this sin, we know that in order to be forgiven, there has to be genuine repentance. But it may be that I did not genuinely repent. I just kind of went through the motions of asking God to forgive me, but I didn't really turn away from the sin, and so I committed again and again and again. And the reason I continue to fall is because I haven't really repented. Now, we know what repentance is. Repentance is a change of mind which involves a turning to God. It's not just a change, but a change which involves a turning to God. And that's preceded by godly sorrow, not just a sorrow, but godly sorrow. And it results in a change of behavior, which is serving the Lord, serving God. And that's what Paul went out to preach, Acts 26 and verse 20. When he went and preached after the Lord had sent him out to preach, it says that he preached that they should repent, turn to God, and do works befitting repentance. So that repentance, which means a change of mind, involves a turning to God. In 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 10, Paul says that godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation. What produces the repentance which leads to salvation? Godly sorrow. It comes from the recognition I've sinned against God. I have grieved God. My sin has separated me from God. It leads me then to repent of those sins, to turn then to God. That's what we mean by repentance. Well, if there's no change in behavior, one must ask himself, did I really repent? Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that if I commit the same sin again after I have repented and asked God to forgive me, that that means I didn't really repent. No, it's possible to genuinely repent and then later commit the same sin again. So it's not just because I committed the same sin, meaning that I didn't really repent. But that is a question I need to ask myself. When I'm going to God in prayer, is there genuine repentance? Am I serious about quitting this sin? Am I serious about quitting the sin? And so that's what repentance is. It's being serious about quitting the sin, changing the heart. And so that's something we may need to do to help us overcome temptation. But then fourthly, we need to learn to overcome discouragement. You know, discouragement causes us to give up. It causes us to say, what's the use? Why am I continuing fighting this fight? We get so discouraged. And there are various reasons. We don't have time to talk about all the reasons we can get discouraged and give up. But one may become discouraged because of someone else's behavior. Not necessarily, and it may include how they treated me, but it also just may be their action, their sin. Here's a brother in the church or a sister in the church that I respect very highly. Maybe it's an elder, a preacher, a sister that I uphold because of her devotion to the Lord and her knowledge of God's will. And he commits a sin. She commits a sin. Maybe it's a grievous, what we would call a grievous sin, like adultery. Lying. And it just devastates us. And we just think, well, if he or she can't do it, then how can I? We have put our trust in them. We have respected them. And they've let us down by their actions. And because of that, it discourages us and it can lead us then to quit and give up. It may be that this person has committed a sin against me. Someone that I have loved and respected, and they've hurt me terribly. What do I do? I can get discouraged. I can say, what's the use? I tell you what happens sometimes is the reason that we quit and we give up is because our service within the church, our service to the Lord, has been because of our relationship with people. That we're a part of that church because we like the people. And we're part of the church there because I enjoy being with them. But when that desire goes away and I no longer want to be with them and they mistreated me or they have let me down, then I give up on the Lord. Well, it may be all along the reason. The problem was is that my service was to people and not to the Lord. My service was because of people and my relationship with them rather than the Lord. And the solution to this problem is don't put your faith in man, but in God. Don't put your trust in man. Don't make that your priority, your relationship with man. Make your relationship with God your priority in life. God will never let you down. God is faithful. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 13 says that temptation is that which is common to man, that which is common to man, that God is faithful. Let me turn over there and read that. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man, but God is faithful. Notice the word faithful. who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. God is faithful. There's always a way of escape. 1 John 1 and verse 9 says that if we confess our sins, He is faithful, there's the word, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hebrews 13 verse 5 says, be free from the love of money, or don't be covetous. He said, for Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be content with what you have, He says, for He has said He'll never leave us nor forsake us. God has promised that He'll never leave us nor forsake us. He'll always be there for us. Whatever He promises, we know that He will fulfill. And so, if our faith is in Him, and our service is directed to Him, then when men don't act right, when men don't treat us right, we're surely not going to give up on the Lord. We're surely going to continue to serve Him and be faithful in our service unto Him. But also another reason we can become discouraged is because we're too hard on ourselves. Because it may be we feel guilty because we've been tempted. For example, here's a man who has a problem with lust, problem with pornography, and he tries to stay away, and he's determined, I'm going to stay away from that. But he can't, as he lives in this life, and he doesn't live in some monastery somewhere, he's out walking and working and trying to let his light shine, he's going to be exposed to some temptations. A woman walks by scantily clothed, a billboard, advertisements. And what happens? His desires are aroused. And he's wanting to look. He's wanting to lust. He has a problem with that. That comes to his mind. The desire's there. But he decides, no, I can't do that. That's wrong. And he decides not to do that. But he goes away feeling bad and feeling guilty just because he had the desire, just because he wanted to. Well, the problem is that he doesn't know the difference between temptation and sin. Look in James. Look in James chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. As James defines sin, he says, each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. What is temptation? When he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. So yes, there's desire, and he's enticed to commit the sin. He's been tempted. He hasn't committed sin. He says, then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. Sin is not committed until you give in to the temptation. A man has a problem with anger. Someone says something he doesn't like at work, and he is tempted, the thought comes to his mind to just lash out in words against him. As a matter of fact, he wants to do that, and the thought comes there, but he says, no, I'm not going to do that. He's been tempted. He may go away feeling bad just because he had the desire. He really wanted to lay it onto this person. But he didn't. This is a time for rejoicing because he overcame the temptation. He was tempted. He must not be so hard on himself that he feels like he did wrong and committed sin at the time of temptation. Jesus was tempted. Hebrews 4 verse 15. He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. So temptation is not sin. Temptation is the occasion to commit sin. We need to know the difference. But another way in which we can be too hard on ourselves is when we commit some heinous sin, we then can't forgive ourselves. God's forgiven us. We've genuinely repented and asked God to forgive us, but we just can't forgive ourselves. Well, trust God's forgiveness. God says He forgives. If 1 John 1:9, He's faithful and just to forgive. If we confess our sins, He will forgive. And He will remember our sins no more, Hebrews 8 and in verse 12. trust God. And in doing that, we then can avoid this discouragement that we experience in our lives that keeps us maybe from being faithful to God and giving in to Satan's temptations. But then, learn to say no. Learn to say no. Proverbs 1:10 says, "My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. Say no." We say that to our young people. If they bring sin before you, they want you to drink, or they give you a cigarette to smoke, say no. We want them to have the courage to say no. And that's what we all must have. Matter of fact, in becoming a Christian, we have to say no. Matthew 16, verse 24, "If anyone desires to come after me," Jesus says, "let him deny himself." We say no to self all the time. And take up our cross and follow Him. Also in Titus 2, verses 11 and 12, verse 11, he talks about the grace of God that bringing salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us. The grace of God teaches us that denying godliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. Denying godliness and worldly lusts. That's saying no to ungodliness and to sin. We need to learn to say no. That takes courage, it takes strength, but I'll tell you, the faith that we have in God, when we are firmly convicted that God is, we know what is right, we know there's a heaven, we know there's a hell, I'll tell you, that gives me courage. When I know these things to be true, it gives me the courage to say no to anybody if it's sinful. And that's what we need to have, is to have that kind of faith, where we can have the courage to say no. Well, these are five things that we can do, some practical things that will help us to overcome temptation. Be close to God. Study your Bible every day. Pray to God every day. Be in all the assemblies. Be here, brethren. Be here. You need it. If you're going to be successful, you need to be in these assemblies. And I encourage you, if you're not being in these assemblies and you're able to be here, now I'm not talking about, well, I've got something else that I want to do. I'm talking about, I can be here. Be in these assemblies. You need that if you're going to be successful in fighting against Satan. Be careful about your environment. Be careful about what you watch on television. Be careful about the movies you go to see. You might say, well, it doesn't affect me. It will. Evil company corrupts good morals. Ask yourself, did I really repent? When you go to God in prayer about a sin you committed, genuinely repent of that. Saying, I'll never do that again. And be honest about that. Genuinely repent. Learn to overcome discouragement by not being too hard on yourself and by not putting your trust in men. And learn to say no. Have the courage to say no. Have the faith, the conviction in God. And in that, we'll be able to overcome sin. There are times, yes, we commit sin. And it's our fault, always. It's our fault. And when we do that, we can genuinely repent and ask God to forgive us. God forgives. But I want to tell you something. If we're not serious about this and we don't do that, the Bible does talk about that lake which burns with fire and brimstone. The Bible does talk about Jesus saying, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." That's real. I don't want to go there. And so I am serious about Satan's temptation. And as we love the Lord and we serve Him with this kind of faith and conviction, then we'll be successful. The Lord has made it possible. What about you this morning? If you're not right with God, if you haven't been overcoming temptation, you've allowed Satan to get the best of you, maybe you might need to go back and think, you know, maybe I've deceived myself. Maybe I've allowed Satan to deceive me. Then go back and look at your life and say, am I really serious? Have I really made the right decisions because I love the Lord and I want to please Him? Please do that. Take your life seriously. I'm not saying you're not doing that. But that's essential in order for us to be saved. And if you need to make that change, make it right now. You can go to God in prayer right now where you're sitting and say, God, forgive me. If you want the prayers of the brethren, and come forward and we'll pray on your behalf. If you've never become a Christian, we encourage you to come to Jesus this morning, believing that He is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and on the basis of your faith, repent of your sins, confess your faith, and then be baptized for the remission of your sins. And if you'll do that, the Lord will save you. If you need to come, please come while together we stand and sing.